All right, back here at the Public House, Adam Copeland, Marty Lurie, Carmen Q, Allie Williams, joined now by Mark Sanchez, KNBR.com. Mark, Marty and I were joking earlier that every year he gives like a one of the new beat writers the Rookie of the Year award. Last year went to Kerry Crowley.
Yeah.
He said he was going to tell you he's got to give it to Maria Gordado this year, who's going to join us later in the show. But you just maybe don't reach the service time qualifications. She started covering the team midseason.
So hopefully next year I'll be up for that.
Yeah,
one.
You may have exceeded rookie limits by
then. No, Adam, no.
I'm going to have to talk with Maria about this.
Speaking of rookie limits, a guy who was up last year and is now a true rookie on the staff this year, Tyler Beattie. He goes last night. We've been talking a lot about him today, and that we have not seen him put together a stretch of games, maybe two or three earlier in the season, a couple in a row now, but last night probably his best start against a bad team, but he looked pretty sharp through and through.
For sure. This is really the Tyler Beattie they've been waiting for, right? For a month, 6 weeks, he was really not good. He didn't know where the ball was going. The walks were up. First pitch strikes, he couldn't get them. And they stuck with him. They never really blinked. They just said, this is our starter. We're going to keep rolling him out. We're going to wait to see what he can do. Because they see the stuff in him. They see the mid-90s fastball. They see the changeup. They see the curve. He's got the stuff if he can put it together. And finally, we're seeing what they saw. He's putting it all together. And for two starts now, he hasn't given up a run. Like this is what they've been waiting for him.
And do you know who has been working with him specifically? Or has he just been working on kind of things on his own? I know they were saying, you know, he's got a good curveball, but, you know, the command just necessarily wasn't there. So what have you seen? And has anybody talked to you about potentially, like, you know, what specifically he was working on?
Kurt Young has been the one, I think, that he's been relying on. He was asked yesterday, you know, as you're struggling, was there ever a point where you thought this might be my last start here, and then you get sent down to Sacramento? Because I thought that might be in his head a little bit. And he said, well, after every one of my starts, I would talk with Kurt, and he always said, here's where you're going next. And he always sort of relaxed him and said, you're going to be up here, just settle down a little bit, you'll be fine. And it's really paying off right now.
It sort of makes you wonder, because now we're seeing Sean Anderson in a completely different role. I think a lot of people question maybe the injury earlier in the year. Will they bring him back into the rotation after the injury? He had flashes of brilliance, but I think nobody could get over the hump of thinking that he's probably a relief pitcher. And now maybe he's settling into that role, gets another save last night.
It's funny, because I think everyone watching, fans, even media, they look at it and say, oh, this guy's a reliever. He looks good. Sean Anderson does not see that. He still thinks of himself, you know, I want to be a starter. He'll do whatever the team wants. They want him to be a reliever. He'll be a reliever. He wants to be a starter. He's had that taste. He wants to have that success. His stuff has definitely had an uptick since he's gone in relief. He's throwing, you know, 96. His slider is 90 and nasty, and a slider we had not seen when he was a starter.
He's filthy now. He looks great.
For sure. Yeah. And we talked about it the other day, where it was like, you know, do you notice your stuff is way better? And he said, you know, I don't think of it as better as reliever. I think of it as better post-blister. That after he went on the IL, he went down to the AAA. He had an outing there where he said, I put all my stuff together. My fastball was faster. I felt better. He thinks that's not because he's a reliever. He thinks it's because he found something. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him this offseason, because I think they're going to have to make a decision soon about what this guy's future is.
Yeah, I mean, with Tyler Beattie kind of more or less securing a spot in the starting rotation at this point, and Sean Anderson assuming kind of a closer role, I think about the odd man out being Derek Rodriguez, a guy that everybody thought would be a shoo-in for the rotation this year. Where do you see Derek Rodriguez fitting in the long-term future here?
He's another one where he really, really wants to be a starting pitcher. He thinks he belongs in that rotation. And he has, I think, more fight than the other guys. He grits more than them, even if his stuff might not be as solid. He thinks of himself as a starter. He wants to be a starter next year. And I think that's what Farhan and this whole administration believes in. Let's give ourselves options. he's going to go into next year and spring training and try to prove himself, try to make the starting five, and they're going to have a whole bunch of choices to make, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Let's talk about the lineup a little bit. Jalen Davis comes up after, I mean, much fanfare. All the fans want him to be here because of the 30-plus home runs at the AAA and AA levels this year. He comes up, and the power has just not been there. Then he catches one off the wrist the other day. Probably a little moment of exhale that it's nothing serious with Jalen Davis. But the question still about his power at the big league level, what are you hearing about? What's going on with him? He just does not look comfortable at the plate.
He didn't look comfortable. Most of his batted balls are going on the ground, I think, was the big problem. He was hitting them hard. Like, you can see the power is there. He's, 103 mile an hour to right field, that sort of thing on the ground. But they were not fly balls, and that's the name of the game right now. So I think this offseason they're going to tell him, let's get a little bit more uppercut in there. That's what they did with Austin Slater, and you're seeing the results this year. It's more the game in 2019. But you can see tools-wise he's there. Even speed, he's there. He runs the bases as fast as anyone in the Giants. His arm in right field is probably the best arm that they've got in the outfield. And he's got the power. It's just if he can get it in the air, it's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, we've seen so many newcomers, Jalen Davis being one, and just so many this year have come through the system and they've stayed or they haven't stayed. Who do you feel will kind of have the longest tenure on the Giants? Who do you think will stick around, and kind of why do you feel that way?
That's an excellent question, because we've seen so many guys, and the question's going to become, who have the Giants actually found? Like, who has made themselves a part of next year's team?
Mike Yastrzemski.
I think you look at Yastrzemski.
Yeah.
I think he's a starting outfielder next year. Is Dickerson?
Probably not.
What about Pilar? I mean, Pilar has been tremendous, actually.
They're going to have a decision to make with Pilar. He's going to $8 to $10 million around there. I think they probably bring him back, but if you're bringing him back and you're bringing Yastrzemski back and you're bringing most of the other guys back, how are you improving this offense? They've got some holes to fill. I think maybe second base is the biggest one where they can probably find an upgrade.
So with that, are you saying Mauricio Dubon belongs at shortstop?
I'm saying that I suspect that Mauricio Dubon is going to become a sort of super utility guy, a guy who starts 3 out of 4 days, second base one day, shortstop one another day, center field another time, and just sort of fills in everywhere. They've talked about that they want to see him in the outfield in spring training, and he's played the outfield a bit in the past. So I'm not sure they're going to pencil him in as the everyday second baseman next year. I think that's the most likely avenue for an improvement.
So what's the path that the Giants go with this offseason? We're going to now finally get it's an offseason after a season, right? We had one of Farhan. We know he went out and he tried to make a move to get Bryce Harper, that they were in the negotiations for that. In his time with the LA Dodgers, the biggest move they made, or the most money they spent in free agency, was extending Clayton Kershaw and then giving Kenley Jansen a huge contract once his deal was up. Do you anticipate him going out and saying, we do have some pieces, we need to add to them with A-list free agents, or does he keep going to the scrap heap, for lack of a better term, and bringing in the minor league free agents?
That's another good question.
Sure, it'll be a combination of both, but just your thought on that.
For sure, and I think it goes back to, you look around the offense, and you're not really sure where the most logical improvement's going to be made. You can't throw $50 million at a third baseman because you've got a third baseman. You can't do that at a shortstop unless you're going to make a really enormous decision with Brandon Crawford. There's not a whole lot of places on offense that really make sense to throw, $80 million at and see what we can get. So I think if they're going to spend money, and I suspect they're going to spend money, it'll be more likely a rotation help than it'll be for a position player. And then you look at guys like Garrett Cole and start dreaming there.
You heard it here first. Mark Sanchez says, Garrett Cole, your San Francisco Giant ace on next year. Yeah, put that down.
Pick that up, MLB trade rumors.
Mark, we appreciate you coming out with us, man. What do you got going on today at the yard? What are you looking for today?
What am I looking for today? I'm looking for Madison Bumgarner's start here. He's got, I think, one more after this at home, and then we're going to see what happens this offseason. At this point, every Bumgarner start is a special start and is something to watch for.
Yeah, and we're hoping, Marty and I were talking earlier, hoping that it'll be Bumgarner on the final day of the season with Bruce Bochy.
Fingers crossed.
All right, Mark, thanks for coming out, man.
Appreciate it.
Plenty more coming up here from the patio at Oracle Park. Madison Bumgarner on the hill today.